And Hannah did very well. You think we ought to have her sing every week for us, or what? Thanks to the praise team. Thanks to our pianist. Good to see the Leaks here. I was telling them before, they must really like to hear me speak, because both times I speak a year, they're here, right? My family's thinking, you need to work on humility for 2021. Huh? It's a privilege to speak to you today, to share God's word. On the last Sunday of 2020, anybody applause on the last Sunday of 2020? And specifically what I'm going to speak about is how Christians should respond to times of trouble. Have we had any trouble in 2020? Are we going to have any trouble in 2021? Yeah. I hold here, I don't know if you can see this, but I hold here a calendar from 2020. When I first put this on my bulletin board about a year ago, boy, could we have predicted, right? Probably not many of us are going to frame our 2020 calendars. Some of you may want to tear this up or burn it. Maybe we should bury it somewhere here. Certainly our nation, our church, our families, we've had troubles in 2020. I mean, and certainly we could spend a lot of time listing them all, but if you just think about it, right? Think about the economy, the health of our nation, jobs, right? Several of us have been impacted. We went through a rather tumultuous election. We've seen riots. We've seen attacks on police. We've seen hurricanes and storms and bombings. Our churches, we've seen, churches across the country. In some states, it's not easy to meet. And places where you can meet as a church, right? Attendance is down. So there's many churches who are concerned about budgets and finances and Pastor Jim, he and Kim are enjoying vacation today, but they've had to think and lead us through, how do we meet? When do we meet? Where do we meet, right? And the whole having to get online and get online quickly, right, to be able to reach people who are not able to be out. A lot of trials. And then, of course, so many of those come to our personal and have impacted our families. Finances. How do we educate our kids? The number of, things that we had planned that were postponed or even canceled. Graduations, travel, weddings that were postponed, right? Separation from loved ones who were in their final days. And we weren't able to be with them. Not being able to attend memorial services. It's hard to imagine. Certainly, 2020, we have seen several trials, right? And that's just a few of them. Our nation and society, the USA, is the most affluent in the history of the world. And we are the most worry-filled society in the history of the world. Worry is a common temptation. It's a common temptation for all of us, right, in life, but for many, it's almost their favorite pastime. You know folks like that? Americans spend more on security, trying to stay secure and safe and keep our property safe, more on mental illness, more on intoxicants than any country ever. Our country is consumed with anxiety. And I would say that sometimes we even, as a country, and even we find things to worry about. Right? We kind of will grab a hold of things and how the earth is going to end and various things, right? We see that in our country. So a couple questions this morning. How does God view worry? How does God view it? And is worry a sin? Another question. As believers, as Christians, when we are faced with troubles, and oh, by the way, it's not if we're going to be faced with troubles and trials, right? James 1:2 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials. But when you are faced with trials, as believers, what should be our response? Should we show up different than non-believers? Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Jesus, in this Sermon on the Mount, gives us clear instructions. I'd ask you all, if you're able, to please rise to honor the reading of God's word. And I'll read from Matthew, chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your truth. And Lord, we just thank you that you're in control. And Lord, just we'd ask for your blessing on the rest of this morning. May the words that are spoken give me clarity of thought and speech, and that they would go out and that people would respond. And it all be for your honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So how does God view worry? And anxiousness. Jesus says three times in those verses just read, do not worry. Or in my translation, do not be anxious. Clear instructions. So let me ask you, is worry a sin? When Jesus, Lord, gives us a command, and we do not, he gives us a command not to do something, and we do it. What is that called? Yeah, he's telling us clearly here. It's pretty clear, right? Three times, verse 25, verse 31, verse 34. And there's other places throughout Scripture. We'll look at a few of those before we close. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. And I'm sure some of you are saying, well, come on. Everybody worries. It's just why are you making a big deal out of it? Just a trivial sin. Not a big deal. Like I say, our country, that's what we do. Three reasons from this scripture that I believe why we need to take it seriously. One, worry disbelieves scripture. If you're worried, you're not believing what God has recorded for us here and throughout scripture. Probably more and just as serious is worry distrusts God and even strikes out at God. And worry also impacts you physically, mentally. Very serious, right? And we'll talk about that. Jesus mentioned here, by worrying, you can't add an hour to your life. We'll talk about that. So in verse 25, let's just kind of break through this really quick. Verse 25, Jesus commands us not to worry. Don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or what you will wear. It's hard for us maybe to even imagine this with the way we, you know, the way we live in America. We have so much. But I ask you to try to put yourself in this time. Put yourself in AD 50s, ancient times. How plentiful was food? Do you think most people planned their meals 3, 4, or 5 days in advance? They didn't, did they? Literally, it was maybe for the day. But they weren't thinking about what I'm going to have tomorrow. Some of you may are having New Year's Eve plans and what you're going to have. They didn't do that, right? Food was not plentiful. How plentiful was fresh water? Depending on how close you live to the well, but certainly in the arid temperatures and the heat, that would have not been easy to come by, right? If you were going to take a journey, where are we going to find water, right? Again, hard for us to imagine that. And then clothing. I went into the closet today. How many of you have walk-in closets full with more clothes than you can imagine? How many clothes do you think a person, the average person, the disciples that he's in, the believers that he's speaking to, how many sets of clothes do you think they had? Probably had basically what they were wearing and maybe an over garment. So Jesus is really, this is hitting home with these people at this time, right? He's saying, don't worry about this stuff. And they're thinking, that's really what we spend our time. If you're not focused on those things, that would consume a lot of people's, their thoughts in this day. And Jesus is telling them, don't worry about it. And he gives us in verse 26, he says, you know, look at the birds of the air. And that point, that area of the world, there are birds flying all over, major migratory issues, right? Or pathways that they're seeing birds. And he's saying, if God cares for the birds, right? They're not reaping and sowing. They're not planting seeds. They don't have barns. Are you not more valuable than they? Do you think for a moment he cares less about you than the birds? And yet, he cares for them. He provides for them. And this gets to the point of disbelieving Scripture, right? We believe as believers, the Lord created us. He sustains us in all life. And yet, sometimes we doubt. As long as the Lord destines to give life to each of us, he's going to sustain it. That's what Jesus is talking about here with the birds. You know, we didn't create ourselves. I was looking at the January birthdays. Anybody here on the January birthday list choose what day they were going to be born? They have any say in it? No, you didn't plan yourself into the world. If God has given me life, he will give me the food to sustain that life. So what are we to do? We're just to be thankful. Give thanks. Continuously give thanks. Verse 27, Jesus is saying in verse 27, which of you, by being anxious, by worrying, can add a single hour to his span of life? Jesus is saying, you cannot worry yourself into a longer life. In fact, though, right, can worry impact your life to make it shorter? Absolutely, right? Worry impacts our circulation system, our nervous system, our digestive system, our heart. So while you can't worry yourself into a longer life, it certainly can lead to a shorter life. And I would also add, right, at times where you've really been fearful or anxious, how's your decision-making at those times, right? It causes us to make poor choices as well, right? When you're really anxious and worried, it's not the best time to make long-term life-changing decisions. Those poor choices, if you make, you're worried all the time, you make poor choices, and then that leads to consequences, and then this cycle just keeps rolling. Verse 28, why worry about your clothing? And he points to the lilies of the field. If God clothes the grass of the field, will he not provide for you? And he compares it to Solomon and all of his glory. And, you know, he makes the point in verse 30. The grasses of the field, they're alive today, and in a short time, they're brown, right? They're gone and they're burnt. Again, will he not much more clothe you? And he says these words, O you of little faith. Worry distrusts God. The worrier distrusts God. If you're a child of God, and he says here in verse 32, you know, if you're consumed by those things of what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear in verse 31, you're like the Gentiles, the non-believers. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. So if you're a believer, you're a child of God, you have a heavenly Father, to then be anxious and nervously ask, in this example, what am I going to eat, what am I going to drink, and what am I going to wear, is to act like an unbeliever. Okay, he's comparing that to the Gentiles. The Gentiles seek after those things. They're consumed by them. So that's one of the questions. Do we face life? Think about this. Do we face life and everything that's happened in 2020 and everything that's going to happen in 2020, do we face it like an unbeliever or a believer? How are unbelievers going to face that, right? If they don't know their Heavenly Father, they're going to have some doubt and fear. They're going to act like it depends on them, right? I got to get down to the store and hoard every roll of last toilet paper. I got to store it up. I got to buy 7 chest freezers, whatever, right? Paralyzed in some cases, right? Almost paralyzed from fear and anxiousness. How's a believer? We have a heavenly Father who controls and maintains and created everything. We can have joy, peace, confidence, because we know what? It's all in his hands. It's all in God's hands. So worry is really senseless because God's promised us. We have an eternal promise. Worry is useless because it is not productive. Nothing productive comes out of worry. If anything, and we just talked about it, right? It can cause you to become paralyzed, make poor decisions, cause health problems. And worry is faithless. It is characteristic of unbelievers. That's what Jesus is saying here. The Gentiles, they're seeking after that. So worry is not a good testimony. Your friends and family who are watching, and you're a believer, and you're worried, they're going to make some assumptions, right? Either God isn't there, or you don't believe he's there. Or if he is there, he doesn't care. Or if he's there and he cares, he doesn't have the power to do anything about it. Is that not true? Christians believe. A Christian who worry, it's really, so we believe, Christ can redeem us through his grace. He's given me eternal life. I'm not deserving of. He's done it all. But I'm not sure he can get me through this trial that I'm going through, whether it be at work or through the latest pandemic. As believers in the gospel, we have a Father who is all-knowing and all-powerful, and he has secured our future. And that's really what, in verse 34, verse 33, we'll talk about, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. And don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. I would say, unbelievers should be concerned. They should be anxious, shouldn't they? 60 million people die every year. And if you don't know your Heavenly Father, they don't know their Savior and trust and believe in him, they should be concerned, right? Their only hope is Jesus. And believe and trust the gospel that Christ died for their sins and rose from the grave. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone. None are perfect. God's standard is perfection. And Romans 6:23 says, the wages for that sin is death. Our only hope, their only hope, is to believe and trust the gospel. Romans 5:8, the good news, that even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we just celebrated at Christmas, right? He came to earth, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross, and rose from the grave. And Romans 10:8, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That needs to be our message. So what is the remedy? What should be our response? Jesus speaks of it here in verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How do you seek the kingdom of God? You need to study his word. You need to have your life focused on finding out who is God, who is Jesus, who he really is. You need to study his word and how he has supplied the needs of his people in the past. Has God provided needs for our country, for our church, for our families? Yeah, and you can read, we all have our own, testimonies of that, but we can read. I've been reading through Genesis and the account of Joseph, right? He had a lot of things to be anxious about, and God provided, and he worked those things out, not only just to help Joseph, right, but to help his family. So the remedy, seek first the kingdom of God, study his word. We need to trust in the Lord. He is faithful and all-powerful. We have a Father who's the creator and sustainer of all things, right? Our mind can't even comprehend his power, the things he holds together. And then also, I believe when we do those things, we will seek to serve others. If you're really anxious and nervous and prayerfully find out, who can I go serve? That was the model, right? That Christ, that's what he did. He didn't come here to lead and be a great ruler. He came here to serve. Our Father is all-knowing. He never breaks his promises. He never changes. Never changes. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So as you turn the calendar to 2021, know that we're going to face trials of various kinds. Okay? They may not be as plentiful and the same as 2020, but there will be trials. However, I'd ask you to think about some of the trials that we've been through as a country. There are people in this room. Anybody remember 2011? Raise your hand. Or 9/11, 2001? Most of us are old enough to remember that. It was a pretty good trial that our nation was facing and the wars that resulted. How about this time, 1999? What were we worried about in 1999 at this day? Y2K. What was going to happen? My goodness, planes were going to fall out of the sky and who knows what, right? The fire department was going to be busy when they bruise. Yeah. We can go through our country's history, the 60s and the 70s, assassinations of MLK, JFK. We can go through Vietnam. We can look at the 50s, the Cold War, right? Some of us are old enough to remember. I'm not old enough to remember, but remember, it was a Khrushchev that banged his shoe? He was going to annihilate us. Korean War. Mr. Leek and I were talking about polio. Anybody remember polio? Was there some anxiousness and concern about polio? You better believe there was, right? Anybody remember World War II? Pearl Harbor? Was that a time of anxiousness and concern? Great Depression, World War I. I know probably no one in here remembers it, but you probably remember hearing about our grandparents talking about it. How about the Spanish flu? Roughly, estimated 50 million people died in 1918-ish from the Spanish flu. Civil War. We can go up to the town square, right, and see the monuments to the Civil War, Revolutionary War. I was reading, as I was preparing for this, a little bit about the plague in the 1300s. The Black Death. I got different estimates, but 100 million people? 100 million people died in the 1300s from that plague? And there were only about 400 million people on the planet at that time. Roughly 30-40% of everybody alive succumbed to that terrible disease. Let me ask you this, of all those anxiousness and troubles and trials, where was God? Was God still on the throne? Was he faithful? Do the circumstances that we are going through and we're going to go through, does that change God's faithfulness? Does our situation determine whether God is faithful and who he is? It doesn't, does it? And this should be our message, right? We live in a sin-filled world, but God is in control, and God will redeem. God will redeem those who believe in him. Just a couple quick verses as we close. Romans 8. Turn to Romans 8, verse 18. Paul's writing here. And you know, think about all the challenges and the suffering. And boy, Paul experienced some trials, right? And he says in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And he goes on to talk about the creation. Folks, whatever suffering we're facing, whatever happens in this life, it does not compare to the glory that is revealed to us. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Amen? And then we'll stay in Romans 8, verse 31, and we'll close with this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Pay attention here. Paul's saying, who's going to separate us from this love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Church family, as we turn the calendar to 2021, we're going to face trials, but know that we have an eternal Father who's all-powerful. He's in control. I'd encourage us let's not look inwardly. We have friends and family who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be in prayer for them, and we need to be sharing the gospel with them. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we want to be gentle and humble when we share that, but that is God's truth. And that is the loving thing to do. Thank you all. God bless.